The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. I don't know which one you are. Nope.
I think I'm yellow. Thank you. Oh, much better.
There
we go.
There we go.
I can now hear.
you can hear yourself, huh?
Again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Terry
Raposa, Wynn Carpenter.
Yes. Yes.
Backward Hat Man.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to you live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. At 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM, we are your talk radio. We're also streaming live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com, and we archive forever.
And ever.
And ever.
Amen.
You can call us if you want with a comment or a question. We have some provocative things we want to talk about today. 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. 4567, or if 4567 is busy, 4566. Anyway. Well, gentlemen, we're getting near the season, aren't we? We're getting near the season to, to get ourselves prepared to vote. And, you know, I think that there's some things we need to address in that. We have an assembly race. We have two ladies running for assembly.
We do.
Yes. Vanessa Audette and Heather Hadwick.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some city council people running.
Yes, we do.
Joshua Johnson.
Yep.
And Dr. Danuka.
Dr. Danuka. And Mark Mazzano. And the last, David Latah, is that right?
Could be.
And then Bacchus. Yeah. There are several. There are four going for the four-year term and two going for the two-year term.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that there's, I've got a chance to meet some of these people. I think that when I met Heather Hadwick and her husband, seemed like nice enough people. Haven't really gotten into her politics very much yet. Maybe some other people have. Tanessa, I've talked with a couple of times. Mazzano at the SCRA. Mm-hmm. Dinner,
yep.
And auction. We had an adult beverage together and talked with him a bit, got to know him a little more. You know, and Dr. Danuka, well, everybody knows he's the salt of the earth, let's face it. You know, he's a great guy.
Great guy.
Great guy. And probably no one more giving in the community. I mean, he and Dick Wilkinson are 1A and 1B.
Yep.
And he's a pretty remarkable man. I mean, regardless if he runs for anything or not, he's a pretty remarkable man. Some of the things that we have to start addressing is, you know, where are we going with these elections? You know, what impact can they have? By the way, I guess the Reading City Council just passed a new ordinance that they're only giving 24 hours for homeless people to move.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Move from point A to point B?
Yeah, point B, and I guess after three times there's some sort of penalty for all that.
And what is that?
I think they get deported.
Deported back to the county or state from which they came?
Yeah. But, you know, how does that there's two different...
But wait, we don't have an airline here anymore. How are they going to do that?
Right.
Thank you, city.
Now, there is the bus. You know, but one of the things I think that... we also have school board elections going on.
Yes. And that's huge because there are a lot of people running for those positions, and you need to get involved. It's about the kids, for God's sake. If you're not going to pay attention, move away.
Yeah, you know, and I think that most of the people here that are running on the conservative side are saying, you know, we're just not going to adhere to these insane laws and these insane policies.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the only way you can do it. I mean, you can fight one of a thousand. You know, and somebody said something the other day on the radio I thought was pretty interesting.
And?
They said that, you know, with the Democrats come in, it's just like Kamala's going to clean up the border. Well, she made the problem in the first place.
She hasn't been to the border.
Yeah, I know, but she's going to clean it up, right?
Right.
Okay, so the point is that they create a situation, they create a chaos, they create a crisis, and then they go back and clean up their own crisis.
No, they don't go back and clean up. They say they're going to.
Exactly. You're right.
And when they say that, then, all the minions fall in lockstep and say, okay, great, they said they're going to clean it up.
Yeah.
And then they don't.
You know, and there's a lot going on about what goes with what happens with a lot of the things that are on public record, like boards of supervisors, meetings and things like that, and a lot of people saying, you know, that they're – if you talk about that or you bring that up in any way, shape, or form, that's going to be a problem and you can get sued. Well, it's public record. You know, when you're saying something in a meeting.
Right.
You know, frankly, you know, when we have a guest on here, they know we're going to share everything they say.
Right.
On our archive, and they agree to that.
Well, when you go to a public meeting
that
is part of public record, you are assuming that it's going to be shared, and to assume that it's not going to be is ignorant. You're being ignorant if you think that's the case, because people may use little sound bites out of anything said in the board meetings. Hence, I don't say anything.
Well, you know, if you're going to speak to an issue, I think that's good, and I think speaking to an issue is good. When you start throwing things around, you know, different things around, like if you start throwing around lawsuits, you start throwing around these kinds of things.
Right.
In a public meeting, it's public knowledge.
I mean, right.
Throwing that out there, it's like on the record. So whether you're right or wrong isn't the case. It's just a matter of.
And things like that can be perceived as a threat.
Well,
they can, because, you know, there have been.
Which part? What do you mean by that?
About lawsuits.
Okay, so you're saying the person that says this in public comment,
they're gonna,
or says it during a regular calendar item or consent calendar item,
right?
You're saying it could be considered a threat,
right?
Explain that to me.
Well, I'm just saying it can be. I didn't say it would be. I didn't say it would have any legs or anything like that. But it can be perceived as a threat. So then that makes others, you know, either community members or the board who you were addressing to kind of tighten up a little bit and just, like, not to be so forgiving on things that you may say. You know, when you're threatening lawsuits and just suits in general, it's wrong. You shouldn't do that. If you can't get your point across without being profane and threatening, then you're not doing a very good job.
Well, the whole thing is that if you're, if there's a person that does those kinds of things, you run into the situation of, if a crime's been committed, then you have the crime. You can't say, because this may happen or that may happen, this is a crime. It's not until you do it. You
right,
know?
Right.
And so, I think that a lot of times what happens, I mean, all this stuff that goes on, I haven't been to a board of supervisor meeting for a while. I'm not ashamed to say it. I watch it online sometimes. I believe they've changed the public comment to where they're trying to get that a little closer to the beginning of the Board of Supervisor meeting so people can do public comment, but I believe they cut it to 2 minutes.
No, they did not. They only cut it to 2 minutes on that one issue that one time.
Okay, so that is not an ongoing thing.
That is not an ongoing thing.
Okay, I heard it was an ongoing thing.
No, because that's incorrect, because there were so many people
that
wanted to make comment about the particular issue,
and
that's why it was suggested to do that, and that's why they went that route.
And I think that's probably pretty good. I mean,
fair, because everybody involved in that one public comment portion of the meeting would have 2 minutes,
right?
Not just one person out of all those people,
right? And I think that's okay, because when you have some supervisor meetings that I've been to in the southern part of the state, they give you 1 minute.
There we go.
Some city councils give you 1 minute.
Yeah, you have 1 minute.
Yeah, you got 50 people. You got 1 minute.
Be short and sweet. Say it. Be direct. Yep, be succinct.
But I think 2 minutes, I mean, 3 minutes is good. I think one of the challenges with a lot, and again, that's all about free speech, which brings us back to us talking about what's a threat and what's not a threat. Well, you know, you still have free speech. And a threat is, I'm going to do this to you. And this is your consequence, but
there are consequences with your free speech.
Yeah.
You exactly. say something that exactly. out of line, people don't care exactly. for it. Guess what? That is the
exactly
consequence.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
I think, I wouldn't be opposed to if you have, you know, you have 50 cards in for something and you give everybody 2 minutes. I wouldn't be opposed to that. I mean, that doesn't give me any heartburn because pretty much, especially if it's a regular calendar item, how much do you really need to go into?
Right.
I mean, you lay out the facts or whatever. Or a consent calendar item. I mean, you can't. I believe the chairman of the board has the jurisdiction to regulate that time.
They do.
Yeah. So they could say 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes.
Yep.
One thing I think that that we need to understand about our elections is that, you know, hand counting is really that's the key to all this.
It is.
You know, and, you know, if you go and you vote on the day, I think that's the way to go. A lot of people think that we need to bank our vote. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that, that think that's the way we should do it. I mean, to me, I'm voting on the day that the election, the day you're supposed to vote.
Yeah, on election day.
Election day.
Yeah.
And I think it should be a holiday. I really do.
I do too.
And I don't know, maybe someone can let us know, here. The phone number is 530-605-4567. 605-4567. If, in fact, a county has jurisdiction, or maybe you know this, Wim, a county has jurisdiction to say, okay, we're going to, declare a holiday, you know, for voting, or, you know, you can give the people a day off that give everybody a day off during voting day. I don't know whether a county can do that or not.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I mean, national holidays, yeah, they already have this established, but I don't know if they can do it per county or per state.
I don't know either. I mean, it would be like, you know, or maybe just a reprieve, or maybe you can get an excuse from work if you need to take 20 minutes to go vote or whatever the case may be. But I mean, this whole menagerie that we've created, and a lot has come out of that. I mean, again, we were talking the other day about the 7 steps, and I think that's good. I think what Dr. Frank did was good. But we ought to be at step 8 or step 9 right now because we've only got we only have weeks left, really.
Right. Right.
Until the election.
And we have 71 days.
It seems to
22 hours, 41 minutes, 44 seconds, 43 seconds. Not that I'm counting. I'm looking at the clock here. There's a clock.
But and you're right. I mean, there has to be some kind of rhyme or reason to all of this to where we can get these things done a little quicker, number one. And number two, I mean, you know, if you have the right to, you know, make elections public. Well, you can't be public if it's hidden in a machine.
Right. Right. And to audit it, you know, for the people that are there to view the election process, the election counting process, the ballot counting process, how they're handled from start to finish, you can't do that when it's locked up inside of a machine in a room where you have to view it through either a window or a doorway or over a camera that's, you know, on a TV screen with a camera pointed to it. That's not the way to do it. It needs to be done by hand, by paper.
We did a podcast on Mountaintop Media. You can find it on Rumble, Jefferson State of Mind, MINE, on Rumble, or on Facebook, Jefferson State of Mind, the podcast. There's a 20-minute video we did with Laura Hobbs, Patricia Santangelo, and Dominic Santangelo. And it's very good when it talks about the elections, what should be done, what could be done. It really is the voice of the people. And Laura Hobbs is going to be showing that today. Her group is showing that today at the Reading Library between 3 o'clock and 4:30. 3 o'clock and 4:30 at the Reading Library. It's a 21-minute video, but it brings up all the points and some of the things we need to be doing here in Shasta County. And I would wonder if our ROV officer, from what I understand, he's just going to go with the status quo. Mm-hmm. Is that what you understand? Or
that's my understanding.
Yeah. And what's your thoughts on that? I mean, do you try to shake things up, or you just go with the status quo the first time, or what do you think?
He came into office, into his position, in a very short window of time prior to the election. So keep it status quo, see where it goes, then do a complete audit. Do a complete audit on this election, and do a complete audit on the former election and the election before.
Well, I know you can by law, they can actually hand count some of this to make sure that the machines are doing the proper job.
Right. Oh, yeah. You want proof of that.
I mean,
yeah.
So is he going to do that?
I would assume so.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing.
I mean, that's an assumption on my part, but
right.
I don't know.
Right. Okay, and that's the thing. I'd sure like to hear from somebody who knows that, because we haven't really...
Maybe they're not going to say. Who knows?
Well, this is the people's business, you know? What do you mean they're not going to say?
I hear you.
You know? I mean, come on.
I'm with you.
You know, the thing is that is this guy going to... I mean, is he actually going to, maybe... do a checks and balance with hand counting on what's going on with the machines?
I would hope so. I truly do.
Where are you? Where's this? Maybe somebody can call us and let us know what he's thinking or what's going on with that.
I'm not in that inner circle, so I do not have any direct information on that at all.
Well, you shouldn't have to be on an inner circle
to know
what this guy's going to do.
I know.
Okay? I'm just saying. I think that the moves that need to be made, the position of AB 969, of course, we all know what that did. Shasta County's at the forefront, and then there's people who say, well, we're really not at the forefront anymore. We flipped one machine for another. But, you know, they're passing laws because we're doing this stuff, folks.
Yeah.
they passed laws trying to make it that way.
Our lovely legislature is passing laws because Shasta County is trying to do everything legally, morally, and ethically within our elections.
And our purview.
And the purview that we have in which to do it. And so they're trying to, they are successfully passing laws on everything that we do up here. Just so that nobody else, no other, when I say nobody else, I'm talking about none of the other 57 counties can do what we do. Hmm. That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it'd be nice to, I think we have to have a venue where, even with the Board of Supervisors, And if I miss this, I apologize, but have they brought our new ROV officer up and asked him specifically where he's going with all this?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
There's been one or two meetings that I've missed.
Yeah.
But so if they did, they may have done it then. If they did at all, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm a little curious about that simply because of the fact that, you know, again, it'd be nice to have some kind of rhyme or reason to what's going on with some of this stuff, and I'd really like to hear from somebody giving us a concrete answer on this. I don't like obscurity from elected officials.
Yeah.
I don't like obscurity.
Why can't they just be straight
up? It'd be like, you know, one thing that Kevin Cry, you got to give it to Kevin Cry. I mean, every time you turn around, he wants to talk to the public. Well, yeah. You know, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
And Patrick Jones does the same thing. That's not a bad thing.
Hey, we have a caller on the line.
We do.
Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Laura.
Good morning. I just heard you having some questions about where Thomas Toller stands on all this and what his plans were. And I can answer pretty authoritatively that he's said numerous times publicly, both on your radio station and at the elections commission meeting, that he, and I believe he was also quoted in the local newspaper article saying that he does not plan on changing anything during this election. He plans to run this election exactly the same way as they ran the primary in March.
Well, I have you, and I'm only stopping you for clarification. And thank you for calling, too. And Laura, thank you for all the hard work you do. You really get in there and dive in. You and Bev Gray and a bunch of you really dive in and get this done. Okay, so what he's okay, he's going to do it the same old way. Well, if he's doing it the same old way in this election only, I mean, am I missing something, or is this like the most important election that we've ever had in the history of the United States? Am I missing something?
No, I agree with you completely. This is the most important election. Yeah. They plan to steal this election. That's the only hope that the Harris campaign has of winning.
Yeah.
This is vital that we get it right this time around. And furthermore, I think each citizen deserves. I mean, even if this was just an election for dog catcher, we deserve to have our voice fairly and accurately recorded.
Okay.
Yes.
So what would you have the supervisors do, and what do you think they need to do, and what are they not doing?
Well, they absolutely need to make a local ordinance saying that we will hand count. It's within the purview of the law. Even under AB 969, it allows us to do a manual count as a semi-official count if we're using a state-approved tally plan, which the Secretary of State approved for us in September of 2023. Joanna Francesca took the credit for writing that manual tally plan, and she also announced to the board that it was approved by the Secretary of State. So this is available to us now. There's nothing that needs to be done differently. And furthermore, Thomas Toller can use his own authority to make that happen. He doesn't have to wait for the Board of Supervisors to turn that into an ordinance. It's already written within the law.
Okay, Laura, so quick question.
Yeah.
With that information, they can do any amount of hand counting they want. They could do 1%, 10%, 99%, 100%. Is that true?
That's absolutely true. It's completely within our rights to do hand counting, to test the accuracy of the machine to any extent, 1% all the way on up to 100%, which is what they did in Kevin Cry's recall.
So they've already done it. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. They've already done it in one district. Yeah. Why not do it in the entire election?
Yeah.
There you go. See, that's good information to have.
Yeah, good. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, and, you know, there's other things, too, within the state law that gives them the authority. We can talk about that more, but I don't want to bore your audience with different election code sections. But there's a lot of things that can be done, and I feel like the board has had enough time to do them. And at this point, I'm encouraging folks to go before the Board of Supervisors and start making their voices heard. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease. People need to get up there, even if they're nervous in front of the podium, in front of the audience. Just do a one-line comment. You can take 10 seconds of time and say, I want to go to hand counting in Shasta County. I want to make sure my voice is heard, and then step away.
Well, you just...
It's completely...
You made the point about Thomas Toller. You made the point about him. He can do that. Has he been at the Board of Supervisors meetings and given has he talked about any of this stuff at a Board of Supervisors meeting? Has he been brought forth to speak on where he's going to go and what he sees as far as his methodology and his tools for the election? Has he come in front of the board yet?
Not to my knowledge. He's gone before the election commission.
Yeah.
And basically stated everything that he's told us multiple times on the radio and privately and publicly, saying that he doesn't plan on changing anything. He's kind of, I can understand he's in a difficult situation. He's short on time. But at the same time, it's expensive on-the-job training.
Sure,
that's the way I see it, is that we shouldn't have to suffer because of the fact that he's not ready to make changes quickly enough.
Well, and knowing that, and that had to be something when they selected who they wanted, that had to be in the mix as far as important issues. But I understand where he may not have the time to put all that together, but even doing a portion as a checks and balance, I mean, did he say he'd do a portion? Like Wynn said, 1%?
Yes. Well, in the interview process, he did parrot what
okay.
Clint Curtis said, and he said, yeah, I'd be fine to have a camera system, you know, videoing every ballot as it goes through so we could go back and look at it one by one so anybody could count it. He did say that during the interview process, so he made it sound as if he was open to these ideas, which he still may be. I'm going to say, you know, maybe next year or maybe another 2 years from now, who knows. But my point is by then it'll be too late. We're at a precipice here. We can go one direction or the other, and right now we're headed down the cliff.
Well, if you'd like to hold on during the break for a few more minutes, that'd be fine if you want to do that, because we do have to go to our break, Laura. Do you want to hold on for a minute?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we're going off to our first break, folks. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Wind River Resort and Casino is about to make your summer sizzle
with our $100,000 Bronco Bucks Swipe to Win Draw.
Swipe your River Club card daily to win free drawing entries or other instant prizes.
Your Thursdays just got way more thrilling with our weekly drawings kick off at 7 p.m.
Mark your calendars for the final drawing on August 29th for your shot at cold hard cash.
For a 2024 Ford Bronco.
For complete details, visit WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moments at Wind River Resort and Casino.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to roll the dice.
Yes, we are. Roll the dice.
We've got to roll the dice. Now, Laura, you're showing today at the Reading Library. You have a group that meets every Sunday. Now, what is the times of that exactly on Sunday at the Reading Library?
That is from 3 p.m. until 4:30 p.m. at the Reading Public Library, 1100 Parkview Avenue. And folks are welcome to attend. We're looking for people to volunteer in this upcoming election. And we want to educate people as well. So if you're already up on election issues here locally, invite a friend, invite a family member. And we need to start showing up in mass to straighten out the mess that we're in. And yep. I feel like it's we the people here. That's what's going to right this ship.
Yep.
We the people, no one else. We can't expect anyone else to do it for us. The board, unfortunately, has already demonstrated that they're not going in that direction. They're not comfortable making that politically controversial decision. And so I think with pressure from the people, we can actually be heard. If we make it uncomfortable for them, they will start to listen. And I'm not talking about any of the antics that the left uses. I'm just talking about going up there and, you know, taking your time, your 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever it may be, and expressing how you feel.
Now, I know you're showing the Mountaintop Media video that we just did last week, and I think that it's 21 minutes, and I think it's great. We really got into it. You'll be showing out at the Reading Library today. We really got into it on what we need to do as a county, what we need to do to start taking our elections back. And I'm not sure where the Board of Supervisors stands at this point. I don't. I just got informed, I guess, because I was wondering which particular radio show that Tom was on, and that was Kevin Cry's radio show before he. Okay, so I probably should go back and listen to that. The transparency issue to me, if somebody is in office, I think it's great that they reach out to the people. I think there's some guys that would do that. I'm not saying I agree with their politics, but there's guys like Mark Mazzano. I think he could do a better job of that in reaching out in a public forum, and I think he'd be probably pretty good at it. And I know that Dr. Danuka does that. He does do that. He's been reaching out. And some of these candidates really need to reach out. Heather Hadwick will be coming on this program, I believe, at the end of September. We talked yesterday. And she's been slammed with things. But and Tanessa Audet, I haven't really heard much from. I talked to her a little bit, but I don't know. I haven't heard.
Okay.
And the other candidates have all been agreeable about coming on. So, we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But I think it's important that we get some transparency. And people really need to ask the questions. Is anybody else out there getting tired of platitudes? Or is it just us?
And I think an important question to ask your prospective candidate is how they feel about elections and elections. Do they think it's fair? It's a fairly good litmus test, I found. If they don't think there's any fraud, if they think everything's a-okay and they're fine with the status quo, that's usually an indication of someone you don't want to vote for.
Well, Laura, I want to thank you for everything that you do. Remember, folks, Reading Library today, 3 o'clock, and it should be a great meeting. They'll be showing the video. It's 21 minutes, and this video will help everyone understand exactly what we need to do, but who we really are. And I think that's an important thing, is who we are as a people and what our rights really are. So, Laura, my dear, thank you so much for everything you do. And
thank you, and thanks for all that you two do as well. I appreciate the time speaking with you today.
Thank you, Laura. Appreciate it.
You bet. We're going to switch gears a little bit here because I think that something really needs to be brought up, and Wynn actually brought this up this morning, and he's 100% right. Right now, the Second Amendment is the only thing holding the United States together for our liberty.
Exactly.
It's the main thing.
It is, and it's in jeopardy definitely here in California. I mean, other states honor it. They have constitutional carry in their states. Law enforcement seem to be able to be okay with that, and they work with the people that are constitutionally carrying. They're still able to have a polite society in most of those other states, way, way better compared to California. So why would we not want to be armed or have the option of being armed?
It's a right.
It's a right. If you choose not to be armed, that's on you. If I choose to be armed, that's on me. And it's a constitutionally God-given, constitutionally protected right. And so why would we allow the government, who are the citizens' subordinates, to tell us that we can't have something? Why would we allow that? We can't allow that. We absolutely cannot. Unfortunately, we have to fight for it. And unfortunately, it costs money to fight for it because we're going up against some of these same people and that are in these positions, whether they're judges, attorneys, elected officials,
sheriffs.
What have you, sheriffs, elected officials, you know, all of it. Why are we having to fight? So we have to garner money to be able to support the fight that we as the free citizens, for now, still want to be able to keep our freedom and to establish what we need to establish by having our protected rights. And the Second Amendment is the first and only one that's going to protect all the other rights. It is the only one. If we lose that, everything's going to go down the slop chute, especially here in California. So my plea to everybody is to support this in any way you can, but we're asking for money for right now because we have some hard fixed costs on this case. And so if you could support the Second Amendment case and write a check to PECAN, P-E-C-A-N, and then on that check in the memo portion it on the bottom left, write 2A. So you're spelling P-E-C-A-N, that's who you're pay to the order of, for whatever amount you choose to send, and then in the memo portion, put 2A, and send it to 14421, again, 14421 Old Oregon Trail, Suite B, like boy. And that's in Reading, 96003. And if you can't do the check and you'd rather do an online donation, we're happy to accept those as well. You go to tokeepandbear.com, tokeepandbear.com. And that website, it's a new website. There were some issues with the other one, so they're just in the process now of redoing this one. And so just navigate through it, get to the donate page. There's a donate button right on the first thing that pops up. So you can donate to that, to the cause for helping to fight for this so that we can have it.
Baird versus Bonta.
It's Baird versus Bonta. Now keep in mind, if it does not, if they have to appeal, if Mark has to appeal to the Supreme Court, it not only will be for California, it will go for the entire country, given what the cases, Supreme
magnitude
Court.
Magnitude of it, yeah.
Yeah, the magnitude of it, the constitutionality of it, and what the Supreme Court has been doing. But he does stand a very good chance of just winning it for California right now with the way the case is written and with the three-judge panel that he already has. So please help where you can. It's imperative that we do this.
Could you repeat that website? Sorry.
Yes. It's tokeepandbear.com. So it's tokeepandbear.com.
Now, when is the next court case?
That I don't know. I don't know if he's heard yet or not. I don't know if he has an actual date.
Okay. You know,
it should be sometime soon, probably within the next 2 months or maybe even 3 months. That's my guess. It's a guess on my part in total.
Yeah, you know, if anything right now, I mean, there's a million fundraisers.
Right.
For everything. But I think that if this one doesn't get done, we're in trouble. I guess we have a caller on the line.
Well, before we get to that caller,
okay,
you're on the fundraiser component, and that's the part that I want to challenge other counties. Shasta and Siskiyou have been doing nothing but fundraisers. We've done multiple fundraisers for this case. We've done a couple in Siskiyou, and we've done several in Shasta. We need to challenge the other counties throughout the North State to step up and do the same. Have a couple counties come together, and if they're interested in doing that and they know that they could help garner some money for the cause, get in touch with us. Let us know. We're happy to take your information and help out. We already have an auction team that comes in and does everything, and we all do it for free. That's the beauty of it. We're doing it because we believe in the cause. Nobody makes any money off of this, not one of us. And we have a banking system that we have that we use, and we have a great team that does that. And we have all these volunteers that work our our auctions, and they love doing it, and they do a great job. We've got a well-oiled machine. So if you have something going on in your particular county, oh, I don't know, Tehama, Butte, Trinity, Lassen,
Placer,
Eldorado, all you guys, we're willing to work with you and help you, and we want to. Reach out to us. It's your turn now. Step up. Reach out to us, and we will make it happen. So just do your part, and we will meet with you via phone line. We can do Zooms to get things going. We can do all kinds of stuff. We have technology now that we didn't have before, and we can certainly put that together and make it happen so that this case goes down in history as a winnable case, and we can retain our freedoms.
So, Don, what say you, sir?
Stones is here.
Yeah.
Oh, Stones, not yeah. Don. Stones.
Oh,
hey.
Well,
hey, Rich.
Don,
go
on.
Ahead, Rich. What's up?
Oh, well, I'll be Don today.
Okay, you're Don today. You're always Rich to me. I don't
Don
know
Juan.
Is
that who you
anyway,
are?
Go ahead, Rich.
you're talking about the Second Amendment. You know, I'd like to just really quickly recap. When Senate Bill 2 passed, that removed CCW carriers from carrying on local government, city, state, county, county government land and buildings. And so our local county board of supervisors, very smartly so, invoked an exception in the law. And our county board did a resolution that said, no, in Shasta County, it's okay for CCW holders to carry on county property. So, I mean, talk about bombshell. And so then a few of us went to the city council to try to get them to pass the same similar resolution. The city council failed. In fact, Mazzano and Munn said, it's not city business. Are you kidding me? And then Tanessa Audette, mayor, filed a proclamation which did not invoke the legal protection that the county had invoked. So Tanessa Audette, she had the information. She knew the verbiage that needed to go into her proclamation, and she failed to put it in there.
Okay, so, I just want to clarify something. This is great. I'll give you all the time you need. I just want to clarify as we go. You said that there's legal protection by the county, that the resolution gave us legal protection. Can you explain that? What legal protection do we have? In other words, what legal protection?
So Penal Code 171, Bravo, subsection Bravo 4,
okay,
is an exception in the law that gives the entity or persons in charge of security of a government building, facility, property, that body or person can give permission for people to bring firearms on that very same property. And that is what the Board of Supervisors did. They said, yep, we give everybody permission that has a lawful permit and a lawful firearm to carry on county property. That is the
legal
protection.
Is that all county property, or is there still restrictions?
There's
on
always
it?
Exceptions, like, okay, you know, you're not going to go into the courthouse,
okay,
with your,
yeah,
CCW.
Sure.
But in general, yeah.
Okay.
So that is legal protection. The DA, the chief of police, nobody can hold somebody accountable for carrying in accordance with that exception.
But
in the
city council, you cannot go. You can't have your CCW at a city council meeting.
Correct. Because both the city council and the mayor separately failed to invoke that exception in the law. So as of today, if you're caught on city property and the police chief, any peace officer, and that includes the DA, I wonder if the DA is going to prosecute you. Yeah, I would say the DA, you're not safe in this county if you're caught on city property with a CCW because you are violating Senate Bill 2.
Well, city property could be anywhere.
A park. A park, for God's sake. Yes. Right now,
okay,
you cannot go to any city park with a CCW because you crossed a damn sidewalk, and now all of a sudden you're on a city park. Yes, absolutely.
And this just passed, or?
Senate Bill 2 went into effect the 1st of January of this year.
This coming year, or
24.
24. 8 months ago.
Go ahead.
8 months ago, this law went into effect.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the Board of Supervisors I think it was in February, not even 2 months later, the Board of Supervisors invoked the exception to protect the CCW holders. And Mayor Tadette has failed to do that. So my point is the voters are going to have a tough choice. Do you, you know, there's two ladies running for that state seat. Do you vote for a rhino, or do you vote for somebody who intentionally refused to protect the CCW holders in the city? That's a tough choice, is it not?
Yeah, really tough choice. I got to find out. I'm curious. So what you're saying, if I have a CCW and I'm walking on the trail, the river trail, I can't carry?
If that is city property. So you have to find out who owns the property in order if you're a protector.
Okay, well,
absolutely.
Turtle Bay is city property or private property?
That I don't know.
Well, that I don't know. But
what
like
if you're staying
Civic
at
Auditorium, Civic Auditorium is city property. It's just contracted and managed by a private entity. But it is city property. So you cannot carry at the Civic Auditorium now.
You know, somebody needs to call Tanessa Audette there.
So you can't carry at the Reading Rodeo grounds either?
Is that city property? Anyways, I don't want to waste the listener's
well,
time.
Well, no, it's not a waste of time at all. We're trying to get clarity.
It's not a waste of time. Yeah. It's telling people exactly where they can't carry.
Yeah, how's that a waste?
And how many people go to the rodeo and carry?
Yeah.
I know quite a few that would carry there. And guess what? If they're going to be in violation, they're not going to want to do that, or they're just going to do it anyway, taking a risk.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank
you for bringing that up, because, absolutely. Probably 90, I don't know, give me a number. Probably half the people there are packing. So maybe the Reading Rodeo Association, if they want their, the rodeos under attack, as it is from the city council. But, I think there's some big political pressure to be put on the city right now. Not just Mayor Audette, but the city attorney. Hey, city attorney, can we carry on the rodeo grounds? City attorney, can we carry in a city park? Let's get them on the record, because, like I said, the remedy is there, and Ms. Audette and the city council fail to invoke the remedy.
How can it be pressure to do the right thing? I don't understand that. That blows my mind. If they're not going to do the right thing, that is the pressure that they should receive. If they're doing the right thing, they should be praised for it, or nothing said. You know, just do the right thing every time.
Shouldn't
that,
there
that
be
irritates the heck out of me.
Shouldn't there be like signs up? Because I know I've been to a couple places where it says no firearms.
They should be forced to spend $1 million on signage on every single piece of property. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
You
would
think. I don't know. Why don't you guys invite Ms. Audette on your show?
We did. I asked her. I didn't talk to her at the California Republican Assembly auction. I didn't get a chance to talk to her, but. Yeah. I did Joshua Johnson. He wants to come on the program and stuff. But, yeah, we'll reach out and ask these guys, because I'm trying to – I mean, the thing is that when you bring up something like this, Rich, there has to be real clarity, because this is something to where this isn't a passing moment here. There has to be real clarity on what's going on. And I thank you for bringing it up. But we really need to get clarity on what is and what isn't.
The clarity is already done, Terry. The clarity is done. The penal code section is invoked. You can read the County Board of Supervisors resolution.
Well, I understand that. I get that.
Okay, the clarity is there, all right? To invoke that exception in law is very simple. It's already been done at the county level, and the city refused to do it. That's it. It's very simple.
Yeah, I know. But the clarity of where we can, what I mean, going a little deeper than that, the clarity of, hey, how can they invoke it here in the rodeo grounds? How can they invoke it there? What about in the park? I mean, it's, so that's what I meant. But yeah, I think that, I think this has to be brought up. I mean, I think that we should have, Tanessa Audette.
Well, when you're talking about all this stuff, it is law. And I understand, Rich, you're citing the law, but you have to put it in terms also, along with that law, to present it to the public so they understand that,
with specificity.
I cannot go to X location with my weapon.
Correct.
I cannot participate in an event at X location because I have my weapon.
Right.
So those things have to be real for everybody to understand the impact it will have on them as an individual who could potentially get arrested for carrying on the damn grounds, on a park grass somewhere, and without any intent of anything happening. It just happens, and then there they are.
Right.
And then they have to spend thousands of dollars to fight. This is absolutely asinine. That's why the Second Amendment.
And Tanessa sought out an endorsement from California Rifle Pistol in Fullerton. She sought it out, and she received the endorsement from CRPA. And then after that, she fails to invoke CCW protection on city property. I'm just saying, folks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yep.
Yeah, we need
All right, well, I appreciate
clarity.
The time.
You bet. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks, Rich.
Have a good day.
You bet.
Too. Wow, there are a lot of moving parts going
on
here.
There are a lot of moving parts. We have another caller, Andrew.
Hey, Andrew, how's it going?
Andrew from Bernie. We only got a few minutes, buddy. Shoot away.
Hey, you know, I was going into Macy's down in the mall, and they had a round circle with a line through it, a picture of a Beretta. Thank God I carry a Glock.
That's awesome.
I love you, Andrew.
I remember Mark Baird was on the program around June, and he said in August he's going to have the three-judge, and hopefully getting the three-judge panel in August. And what changed?
Nothing changed. It's just a matter of that was a hope on his part, hoping by August, because the court system, they tell you what they're going to tell you, when they tell you, and how they tell you, and you cannot force it one way or the other. So, and that's where he's at right now. He's just patiently waiting for this process to play out.
Justice denied.
And it even says that in the building, in the courthouse.
The Robert Matsui Courthouse.
Yeah, the federal courthouse there in Sacramento where all these cases have been adjudicated. Yep, it says that.
Yeah, I attended
plain and clear.
A couple of those rallies. Yeah. I attended a couple of those rallies. And it's 5 years ago, I think.
Yes.
Before.
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yeah.
And we've been denied. No, thank you for the show. I thought it was a definite. We had August with the three judge. Panel that hopefully that we were going to draw the same three judges because it's historical or
it will be the same three judges. It will
right.
be the same three judges. It's just a matter of time as to when the court case will be heard again or just
okay,
the process.
Means,
yeah, you know, and Andrew, something else too I want to bring up to you because Wynn made a great point, and that is where are the other counties?
Yeah.
Where's Butte? Where's El Dorado? Where's Placer? Where's Tehama? Where's Plumas? Where's Sierra? Where are these counties? Where are they in standing up for the Second Amendment? Where
right.
are they? How come they're not doing rallies? Now, you know, and here's the other thing, too. We have a group that can do that or get on a Zoom and teach somebody else to do it.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we shouldn't have to run all over California because people don't want to do it themselves. And that's been the whole problem with everything anyway, especially on the conservative side.
Do they think we knew this stuff in the beginning? Hell
right.
no, we didn't know it. We had to learn it. And are we willing to share it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A Zoom is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's
idea. We can do that.
Andrew, thank you for everything, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
You call in. Love to hear your feedback.
Thank
Andrew
you.
Of Bernie, the Patriot.
Quick thing I need to let everybody know. The Shasta GOP has a headquarters now at 150 East Cypress Avenue, and it's open Monday through Saturday, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. And if you want to give a call 222-5867, 222-5867. And so you can go in and check it out and see all the goodies stuff there. There's a lot of Trump memorabilia there. There's some pretty comical things that are there, and there are signs for the candidates, the Republican candidates who want to put their signage in there for people to pick up, and you can do that, and you can have yard signs and enjoy showing who you support. So
go Trump.
Go Trump. So I just wanted to put that out there so everybody knew what to do. And again, that's at 150 East Cypress. It's the red brick building just west. Across the street, west of Lithia Chevrolet.
You know, our producer's really good.
Yes, he is. He keeps us out of trouble.
He is really good. Really good, buddy. Backward hat man, you're good. You're good.
He's got it dialed.
Put his phone up there to make sure we know exactly what the time is we have left.
Yes, sir.
Gotta love this guy.
And then if anybody wants to enjoy the rest of the summer, what's left of it, get out there and have fun and show your patriotism, you know? Fly a flag here and there. You know, just go out on the street corner and fly a flag.
We fly flags.
We do.
We have a big flag.
We do. Yes, you do. You have a huge flag. Shout out
like
to the flag center.
Flag.
Yeah, shout out to the flag center. There you go, on Hilltop Drive.
There you go.
But also, make sure, you know, when you go out on the lake, fly a flag on your boat. I do. We did when we were out there with everybody floating around. Terry
fly a flag in your yard.
Yeah, fly a flag.
Fly
in
a Trump flag.
I have a flag in my yard. And put the yard signs in your yard of those who you support.
All right.
It's important to do that.
Well, with that.
Yes, sir.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
KCA.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.